You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. If you missed your favorite program, don't worry. You can listen to podcasts of our program at cjsf.ca.
Song to help me let go, to free myself. Hello, this is Teachings in the Air with the Healthit. Today's podcast is called Ground Zero, Land Back. You know, I learned about First Cause from my wife, that there's a First Cause for everything. It made sense to me when she told me. So anyway, I started to look once I recovered, went into recovery from not using alcohol and drugs. Once I got onto that path of being alcohol and drug free, I started to heal. And part of my healing was in travel. Like, we went to England, so I went to Plymouth, which is mouth of the Ply River, southwestern England. Because that's where I wanted to go there, because in my mind, that's where Captain Vancouver, Captain Cook, the ones that came to the West Coast, that's where they pushed off from. That's where they left from. So I went there in my way of thinking at that time, thinking this might be ground zero. But I was wrong. Yes, they pushed off from there. Explorers, the ones, the colonizers, left from that port. When I was there, I seen this old heritage house made out of stone. 5 rooms. And on the information plaque, it said, in England, in Plymouth, it was not uncommon that there would be up to 55 or 65 people living in a 5-room house. That was, I gotta admit, it was like a shock to me. In my mind, you know, I remember living on the res, I think all white people were rich, never had problems, they lived in nice places. Growing up on the res, you know, you're in isolation. Like living on an island, so you don't see what other people are doing, how they're living. So in England, I found out, started to learn about the upper class and the peasants. And the peasants were overcrowded, and they were struggling in life. Then I started to have an understanding of why those ones would leave their homeland. Found out that there were many that wanted to make a living off the land and could not do it in England. So when they're offered free land, of course, I've fantasized about this, thinking it must have felt like winning the lottery. Because one of my readings I saw was that they were attracting settlers with a promise of 547 free acres of land. So they came. They immigrated. They migrated to North America. They brought with them gifts or what we thought were amazing things. They brought good and bad. The bad, part of the bad was the smallpox and other sicknesses that my people never had before. The smallpox, I was reading that 85% of the deadly people perished from that pandemic called smallpox. They brought alcohol, which has caused a lot of suffering for my people. We never had alcohol in our way of life. They brought their language. As reading an article the other day, and they interviewed an elder about education. And the elder said, they took our boys and girls to school, and they come back, and one of the things they've learned was how to swear at one another. And I never thought of that before, but that's true. I grew up as a little boy not hearing people swearing at each other. And some, you know, the good is the tools, the implements that they brought that we did not have. One of my elders said, we used whatever's good, so they had good with them too. So in my recovery, my eyes opened. Now I could see and feel the beautiful Mother Earth, sacred spaces, healing places. I remember walking in my community on a moonlight winter night, hearing the crunch of the snow under my feet as I was walking to visit my cousins. And I looked in the mountaintop, and I could see the snow-covered mountain and the moon. And it's like I could see the snow swirling around the mountaintop. It was so beautiful. When I was in active addictions, I never would have seen or felt that. Well, you know, in that same winter, my uncle took me to a ceremony by the lake, Sweat Lodge. And I remember it gets so hot. They tell us to go out, get into the lake. I go out and get into the lake, cool my body down. And I was standing in the lake and I was looking into the sky. And I could see the stars and the Milky Way. And it was like the Milky Way was a river, it was moving. And I remember standing there laughing, feeling joy from seeing and feeling this beauty. And I remember saying to my uncle, Uncle, you mean I've been doing drugs and drinking to feel good, and I could have been doing this? And he says, yes. You know, the beautiful mountains, lakes, rivers in my territory, I started to see and feel. Where we pick berries, where we fish for salmon, where we hunt for deer. All of those places, beautiful places. Then I started to travel away from my community, working. Yeah, I'd go down to the West Coast. I got invited to a place called Pibble Beach, Duchanas territory. And we were camping out. And I'd go for a walk and I'd see Sandy Beach. And I see the Pibble Beach, all these round stones. So beautiful. So wonderful being with the people. We are all camping where they used to live as Nuchanas people. Oh, it was wonderful. In my mind, I say, this is the way it used to be. I was packing wood for their fire. They had a central fire on the beach. People standing around there, and I'd pack wood for them. And I was packing wood and I said, hey, come on, we're going to eat. So I went and they had shellfish in the fire. Oh, they're pulling them out and we're eating. So delicious, so good. Such a wonderful place, Pebble Beach. Cedar trees, ocean, sand, and Pebble Beach. You know, I count myself lucky for witnessing this, seeing this, and feeling it. I'd go to different communities, and I would see the forests, see the rivers, the ocean, and the blessing from recovery. Is I could feel it, the beauty. Another West Coast place I went to was Santa Cruz, California. And these two young men asked me if I'd like to go to their sweat lodge. I said, yes. And they picked me up and we went. It was in by a redwood forest. Oh, these, only what I could say, gigantic, huge, tall redwood trees, giant. And they were telling me as we were sitting by the sweat lodge, you know, all those trees are connected underground through their roots. If one of those trees catches fire, they send water to that tree and it puts the fire out from the inside out. Whoa, togetherness, connectedness, working together. And they said, the bark, you look at that bark. It's made so it'll absorb moisture from the fog because they need that water. It was beautiful. I couldn't help but feel so tiny. Sitting amongst those trees, so small. And I felt they were welcoming me. You know, the magic of Mother Nature, the healing that's available when we go there. And we're respectful of what's there. And I say that I remember my grandmother, my late grandmother. As a boy, I'd be walking with her and pick up a stick and pretend I'm sword fighting and I'm hitting flowers, trying to knock the flower off the stem of the plant. No, son, you don't hurt that plant. It hasn't hurt you. Leave it alone. Teaching me about respect for other living life forms. I told this story to a friend of mine. And he said, she was teaching you that because she knew that if she let you harm plants, insects, animals, just without purpose, that you would more than likely then, as you grew older, hurt people physically. And it made sense to me that, yes, that must be true. So beautiful in the redwood forest. Then we're traveling again, my wife and I would go on road trips, and we're in Arizona, driving along, and there was Vermilion Cliffs, and it was getting into the evening. So we stayed at this fishing lodge, little cabins, rented one for the night. And I was into running then a lot, early in the morning, as a habit. I just put on my gear and go out the door and start running. And I was running on the highway. Went out to the highway and there's no traffic. And I start running. And there's mesquite, I think it's called mesquite, these trees, like shrubs, almost like juniper. And I could smell them as I'm running. Then the sun started coming up from the east, and I was running west. And I could see as the sun hit the Vermilion Cliffs, this beautiful colors of vermilion, like a red, pink color. As the sun started to travel, it lit up more of the cliffs. And I was in awe of the beauty of the Vermilion Cliffs. And I was running and I'd watch. And I realized I better head back because the sun's going to be up and it's hot there. So I started running back, distracted by beauty. It was so beautiful. From there, we carried on to the Grand Canyon. Grand is a beautiful word. It doesn't seem to be enough. Just before we got there, we seen mountain sheep with their curly horns up in the mountains looking at us, curious. Then we got to the Grand Canyon, could see the river down below. So huge, this canyon. Frightening in a way, so far down. I heard about that river. They're concerned about drought. That's where I'd say land back. You know, I wanted to be the way it was. That's what land back means to me today, you know. Same with Pebble Beach or any of the beautiful places I've been to. Land back. Let's bring it back to its original state. I also got to travel to Hawaii and see the... It's just like it's desert and jungle. One side desert, one side jungle. But it seems to be the perfect climate. You know, not too hot, not too cold. The ocean waves, you watch them come rolling in and crash on the beach. It's just so, I love the sound of waves and to look at them, the white caps as they fold over, the changing of the color of the water and the ocean and the sandy beaches. I'd go in the morning, running early in the morning, and I'd see the stars. And I'd hear the surf coming in. So beautiful. Then we went to where active volcanoes were. Mind-blowing to gaze on lava. We came from seeing the lava through a crack in the rock, flowing, molten mineral rock, moving like liquid. And to think that's happening 24/7 is mind-boggling to me. That it's like that. It's like holy, holy, holy. Could I say holy cow? So it was like holy for me there. Another place I went to in the ocean is the Caribbean. Went to a place called St. Kitts. Oh, mango forests. Mango, you could just pick a mango and eat it. It's so beautiful. I went snorkeling in the ocean there. It's such a small place, there's hardly anyone. I was the only one on the beach. I rented these fins in the snorkel and I was swimming and diving, looking at these goldfish of all colors. It was amazing. And there was like a little canyon as I was swimming along. So I started to, I dove under and I was swimming under the walls of a canyon on each side of me. And I could hear this tick, tick, tick. Don't worry, what's that? And I looked down in the bottom of that canyon. And there's a goldfish with a long snout, blowing a little pebble along the bottom of the canyon, saying, whoa, it's amazing. Land back, keep it there, keep it the same. You know, on my other journey on Turtle Island, I went to the plateau and the Rocky Mountains. I come from the Coast Mountains. They're beautiful. Waterfalls, forests, beautiful. You go into the plateau, it's semi-arid. Pine trees, sage, juniper. Would go there. Invited to a camp by elders at Owl Rock Camp. And they called us to lay teachings at our feet. And I think about it, and the reason I'm doing this podcast, they were telling us what's going to happen. And telling us, teaching us how to live on the land. They built a she'ishkin, what people call a pit house, because half of the house is underground. So you must learn how to build these again. Live off the land, because there's a change coming. And the ones that listen and know how to live off the land are going to make it, going to survive the change. This was in the 80s. But I remember that camp. It was so quiet there, so beautiful. We'd have sweat ceremonies and burn medicine, eat good food, listen to stories. So beautiful. So I got to see and feel that beauty going with an elder in the springtime. So come on, nephew, we're going to go get medicine for the lodge. And we go out in the springtime and he's picking plants, tree branches, filling his bag and he's singing. And we go and we put it in a water bucket for the sweat lodge. And we use it and it smells so nice. It's medicine, he says, to help us. So beautiful. Then I go to the foothills in Alberta. Go through the Rocky Mountains, majestic mountains, oh, tall mountains. End up in Alberta. Again, it's so beautiful on the land. We went to this place I believe is called Castle Rock. We built a sweat lodge there. So green, smells so nice. Birds, squirrels, other creatures all around. Just so beautiful. Feel so at peace, so grounded. We're working together. Then I travel to the East Coast, what they now call Labrador, Newfoundland. I went there first in the wintertime. First time in my life is negative 50 weather. And I went there in my boss at the time says, you buy a parka, snow boots, mitts, skidoo pants, you're going to need it where you're going. I had no idea. But I'm so glad I had it and I got there. So cold. And the people are living there. The good memories I have of that is the caribou. We're having a workshop away from the community in this huge tent, canvas tent with a stove in it. Spruce boughs on the floor, it smells so nice in there. And I'm doing the workshop. And our lunch was they'd bring a hind quarter of caribou and we cook it on the fire. Oh, it's so good. Laughing, no electricity. In a tent on the land. Land back. You know. Let's keep those places. Then I come back in the summer, in July. And I tell the people I want to live in a tent by the ocean with spruce boughs on the floor. When I got there, there it was. They showed me my tent. It's end of June when I got there. July 1st, I was in my tent and it's cold. And I had a little tiny wood stove and I was making my fire and it warms up quick. And I look out my tent door and it's snowing in Labrador on July 1st. But it heated up after that, became summer. But that was beautiful, living by the ocean in a tent. I went out with the men. They're gathering eggs. Seagull eggs, duck eggs, goose